Welcome to the Podcast Discovery Show, the podcast that's about other podcasts, where every single week we discuss a podcast that we recommended the week before. And at the end of the episode, we're going to recommend a new podcast for you to go out and listen to, and we'll talk about that one next week. I'm Kirk.
And I am Zach.
And this week we are talking about Casual Space with Beth Mund. It's episode 70, Space Technology and Exploration with NASA's Debbie Tomic.
Okay, you recommended this, and we've talked about a couple space shows. Mm-hmm. Typically, I feel like that's kind of right in both of our wheelhouse.
Yes.
We like it. We like sci-fi. We like space. We like science and technology, and so it kind of hits all of those things. I wasn't really sure what vein this show was in, you know, because like I've said it before, but like I don't really do research before I listen because I want to kind of go into it fresh. I don't want to have any mm-hmm. thoughts about what it might be before I hear it. And so I listened to it and it's a great show. It makes you very excited about the future of space and the future of NASA. And I don't know. It was a very awesome show to listen to.
So I listened to a few episodes. I listened to another episode about space law, which was very fascinating as well. But we have already done an episode of space law from another podcast that was talking about that. So I didn't want to bring that one.
How recent was the space law episode?
That was almost the most recent one on Casual.
Did they talk
space,
about the Space Force stuff?
I don't remember. I don't think they did. I don't think so.
I'm curious, you know. Because as soon as that was announced, I was curious because I feel like that was one of the things that was iffy as far as the kind of the universal treaty on how space would be treated.
And then I listened to another episode where they talked about like the human body's response to being in space. It was
it's wild.
Yeah, that was a fascinating episode. But this episode in particular was my favorite because it took me back to being a kid and getting excited about outer space.
Absolutely.
And the future of outer space and space exploration.
Yeah. So it really, I don't know. It really does because they get into some amazing things. But first of all, Beth
worked, she used to work there
for
yeah.
NASA. Mm-hmm. And then she is also interviewing someone who currently works for NASA. And so there's real insight there. They both are.
Yeah, this isn't a bunch of nerds talking about space. This is the nerds that work
yeah.
on the space.
They really know what's happening. They have a very firm understanding of it. And so they kind of, honestly, can I say, like, she is a great podcaster as
she
far
is.
As
her voice,
the presentation of it.
Her voice is like the best, most radio voice I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It reminded me, I told Zach this, I'm like, dude, her voice sounds like that, like Delilah show that's on. Like, I remember listening to that as a kid, like when we'd go on like long road trips and there was no other channels because there was before, streaming.
It's an aside, but I do love when you're road tripping, just scanning, mm-hmm. just finding whatever random station is in whatever random area you're in.
That's where I learned about Earl Pitts. We heard a Mabim Mam thing about that because I would always be going to Alabama and he's a thing over there.
But yeah, it's really fun. But yeah, no, she has an incredible podcast voice. And then she also just has an incredible like knowledge base and network that she can tap into to make really interesting conversations happen. And so she brings in Debbie Tomic and it is really incredible. Some of the things that they dig into.
So they first start talking about kind of what NASA right now, because this was a pretty recent episode.
Yeah, it's one of the more recent mm-hmm, ones.
It is. So they were talking about what NASA's response was to being like in quarantine and how they were able to do things. And it was interesting to hear Debbie talk about like, well, you can't really like be like, okay, we're going to shut down, you know, the ISS. You know, you've got to make sure everything's still going. So yes, everyone was kind of social distancing and doing their thing, but at the same time, they had some stuff that was very important and vital to keep going.
Yeah, and she also mentioned that there was a lot of kind of day-to-day operations for NASA that could not keep going. Mm-hmm. So like the just general testing and building of new equipment and things like that, they didn't qualify that as something that had to be maintained while we're in the middle of a pandemic. But things like the ISS, where there's literally people's lives at stake and international interest, and it's an important thing to maintain the International Space Station. So yeah, it makes sense that they'd want to keep that going.
And then they talked about NASA's past tragedies that they've had. And I found that kind of fascinating in a morbid way, but they talked about how during those very difficult and hard times, that was some of the most growth that NASA had had. I mean, and if you think about it, that's a lot of times in life, some of the most difficult things to get through, which you would never want to go do again. And if there was a choice, you would never want them to happen.
Yeah.
They help you learn and become the person you are. And it's the same way with NASA. They were talking about the Challenger, because both of them worked there when the Challenger mm-hmm. thing was it that one?
Yeah, Challenger in the late 80s, mm-hmm. early 90s.
Yeah, I think that was the one that they worked at. But
no, and I mean there was several Apollo missions, mm-hmm. that same thing, where we saw just catastrophic failure, loss of life. But I feel like it kind of all leans into that same thing where you learn more from failure than you do from success, mm-hmm. kind of in general. And so I do think that NASA takes that very seriously. And I think that being an astronaut is a very dangerous job when you look at percentages of people that are injured across, but it's a small number of people total, you know, mm-hmm. but still it's a dangerous job. And these people are pushing the boundaries of exploration. So there's a lot of responsibility on NASA for one pushing and exploring. It's one of the few things where it's exploration.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's goofy, but Star Trek always comes to mind when I think about anything with space stuff, because like literally the Next Generation, it starts off with Patrick Stewart, space, the final frontier, you know, because it's like, that's our thing where we are just looking to look just what's out there because we want to know, because we had this whole generation of people and it was multiple generations just trying to find out what's beyond what I can see. And now we can see so much of our planet that it's like, what's beyond that? And so it's that kind of that final.
And that's what's always been fascinating to me about space, is it's like, I don't know, it's this undiscovered adventure, you know, and I've always had this, you know, even as a child, you know, this adventurous spirit. I want to just go into the wilderness and just where no one else has been and find something myself and stuff like that.
Would you say you want to discover?
I want to discover. I love discovering things. Shout out to the podcast Discovery Show. Oh, wait, that's our show.
Oh, wait, that's us. That's what we do. Not this way.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah. But then they talk about things that are happening now. And this is where I got excited.
Yeah, me too. Because I did not know this was happening.
I had no clue. Okay.
Why is there not press on this?
I'm out of the loop apparently. And yeah.
No.
That's because there's press about so many other things right now that this just gets buried.
In this time, I feel like everything is about the pandemic, mm-hmm. and I get it. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. It's important to understand it, to see what's happening, to understand, to have full transparency there. But it is very difficult to find anything unrelated to it, in a sense.
It really is. I don't look at the news right now. I mean, I didn't look at the news very much anyway because it was always bad news. But now I don't even like to get on Twitter that much because most of the things that are even on Twitter are all about the pandemic. And I just, you know what? I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to be safe on my end. And that's it. Like, I don't want to know. Like,
yeah, no, we're in it. You know, we all know. We all know it's there. But like, for me, sometimes I like to take a break.
Yeah. You know,
and think about other things. And sometimes it's hard to find. But sometimes you stumble onto things where they have kind of brought new stuff forward. And also, it's one of those things like, musicals do the best kind of culturally, like pre and during, or like pre, post, during a wartime, because there's kind of that need to almost escape. I feel like escape has kind of a connotation, but basically to just not think about it for a minute. And so it was nice to be able to take a minute and think about possibilities, to think about a future journey.
Yeah.
To the moon.
So apparently we're going back to the moon very soon, like in the next year, basically.
Like imminently.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why we didn't see it, because it's just blurred with all the other news. But like,
and it's just like Apollo, where there's multiple missions stretched out over years that are going to happen, like that are planned to happen. Granted, you know, they're, Lord willing, everything will happen. But and she even, the first thing she said is like, okay, first thing people are going to ask, like, why are you going to the moon? We've already been there, right? Yeah, we've already been there.
We have.
But there is some amazing stuff. Because that is the first thing I thought. I'm like, man, I want to go somewhere different, somewhere cool. You know, I want to go somewhere new.
Yeah.
But essentially, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. We're basically, let's be honest, she didn't say it, but this is practice runs for Mars and other planets.
No, and it's a supply run. One of the hardest parts about space travel is getting out of orbit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get people out of orbit, let them chill at some lunar base for a while, get stocked up, get the ship ready, and then launch it, you've taken out a lot of, like, because the vast majority of your fuel usage, I think, is from the Earth to the orbit.
They didn't mention that, but I bet you that that's definitely because something that's...
you're fighting against gravity, you're mm-hmm. fighting against atmosphere, mm-hmm. you're having to, like, punch through everything that we've ever known into space. But then you can, once you get there, it's a lot easier to travel. But we didn't have a way to supply up there. And so if we were able to do that, then it would definitely make potential Mars missions easier.
Yeah, so one of their main purposes for the Artemis missions is to start building a base on the moon. Not only that, but also, like, she talked about sending multiple ships up there, probably like SpaceX. They talked a lot about working with SpaceX, sending stuff up there.
They're doing rocket launches all the time.
And the exciting part to me is this OSAM thing that they had.
Yeah.
This, mm-hmm. it stands for On Orbit Servicing Assembly and Manufacturing. So this thing is going to be basically orbiting the moon and creating stuff. 3D printing things is basically what it's going to be doing.
3D printing technology in orbit.
It just blew my mind.
No, it does sound like sci-fi.
And it was funny because me and Zach were listening to this for this is my second time listening to it, his first time listening to it today. We're just kind of making sure we take the notes, get on the same page. And I was on the NASA website, and it showed this like satellite thing, 3D printing solar panels, and it's exactly what she started talking about. And it's just, it's nuts, man. It's crazy. It's amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
So basically you've got this 3D printer with materials, you know, raw materials.
Yeah.
And then it can make what you need. I think I've never really thought about, I don't think I had thought about 3D printing in this application.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't thought of it as a satellite, but the possibilities for if we can really refine 3D printing and you just print from a base substance of some kind and print whatever you want, there is no limit, because we're able to print really high intricacy things that are very difficult to produce otherwise, because you can capture that in a program. And so as soon as you can capture in a program and get some kind of a device that can do it detailed enough, then is there a limit? You know, I don't really know that there is.
It's just so exciting. And then she talks about how, like, not only are they going to be 3D printing things that they're going to be able to use for structures and stuff for a base, but they're going to send robots to build this base so there's going to be a home before launch.
One person goes there. It's awesome.
It's so exciting.
It's awesome. Like, seriously, it is. they are pushing the boundaries of what we can do, what science can do, all of it. And we get to watch it. Like, that's the thing. We're going to get to live stream it.
We live close enough, we can watch the launches.
Yeah, we can watch the launches, and then we can live stream them landing on the moon.
So crazy.
It's going to be wild. So, like, Seriously, check out this episode.
And you haven't, if you haven't been to the NASA website, their website is top notch.
It's really
great. They have all the information about these missions. And then there, she also talked about the Mars missions. And that's exciting. They're doing this at the same time as they're doing the moon missions because, let's be honest, she didn't really say it, but these moon missions are basically for other missions like the Mars missions and other like Goldilocks type areas. She talked about so we're going to send a drone. Well, not a drone.
Orbiter?
What is it?
A rover?
A rover. The Perseverance is the name of the...
Oh, this is named Perseverance? Mm-hmm. I like it.
And it's going to be between July and August of this year. We're going to send this up to Mars.
I mean, Curiosity lasted for what, 11 years? Something ridiculous? That little champion. R.I.P. Curiosity.
I remember. We talked about that on the show.
Seriously? Champion robot.
Lasted way longer than we thought.
So much information. And that's the coolest thing is that like... For a decade, we had a robot on Mars sending us data. And that's, I don't know. Some things about reality are so awesome that it's just, you're like...
I feel like such a nerd right now because I'm so excited about space.
I am too. I do really love space. I love space exploration. I cannot wait for all of this to happen.
But she talked about how this Perseverance mission... And they're going to be like doing, you know, there's different iterations of this as well. They're going to be sending these probes that can get samples and they'll basically package them, send them up to a thing that's in orbit around Mars. And then that's going to send those samples back to Earth.
Honestly, I want more detail. I don't know if it could be nerdy. I don't really care. I want to know from that. Robot takes a sample, every detail. Does it shoot it out of like a cannon at a satellite? Like how? What is happening? I want to know. I want to know how do you send something from the surface of a planet to an orbiter? I have so many questions and I'm just...
And I mean, this is the first step to, if we can do that, then why can't we send people to Mars and then be able to travel back if we need to?
Yeah, just shoot me out of a cannon.
I don't think that's what's happening, Zach. You've watched The Earth to the Moon too many times.
I haven't. I don't know if I've ever seen that movie.
It's disturbing. The moon has a face and it gets like a rocket in its eye. I don't like it. It's really disturbing.
Are you talking about like the 1920s?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
No, I haven't seen that movie.
I've seen it.
That's not what I'm talking about.
That's the first movie, basically.
No, I'm just talking... I'm just talking
about like... you can... And they're talking about like having drones, like flying drones on Mars that can go to places...
Sweet.
Go to places that the... wheeled rovers cannot get to.
Yeah, no, and you can like get a lot more scans from the air.
Exactly. I don't know. This whole episode was so exciting about it. It reinvigorated me to be excited about space. Yeah,
space, robots, science, exploration. Go get it. It's a great episode.
So now I want to jump into our discussions. That was what the show was about. Now, what did the show make us think about? One of the things that I thought was fascinating is she talked about working with these companies like SpaceX, like what was the Blue Horizon? Is that the right one?
I can't remember.
There's another one. There's multiple companies that they've been working with. NASA's been working with. And I found that fascinating because I think it's weird because when we basically shut down the shuttle program.
Yeah.
And she mentioned it. A lot of people actually thought NASA was doing nothing during that time because at the same time, SpaceX like was starting. And so it's like, okay, well, NASA's done and SpaceX is going to take over.
We're going to bring in a new one.
But NASA was like, we know how to get into space. We got that down. Now we can show other people how to do it. They can do it now. We don't have to focus on that. We can focus on... inventing the things that we need to invent to be able to live in space, inventing the things that we need to invent to be able to live on another planet and things like that. So NASA has kind of pivoted into focusing on innovation in ways they've never been able to because they've had to focus so much on getting out of the getting out of this atmosphere.
Yeah.
And now SpaceX can do that while NASA can focus on, you know, really leading the charge into getting us on another planet to where we can live, where we can really explore and things like that.
Yeah, processes and technology that's not literally just shooting a rocket into orbit. Because as we've seen, SpaceX can do that. They do it all the time. They're still building.
They're the first ones to be able to land a rocket back on Earth.
I mean, after okay. That if you guys cool. haven't seen those videos, you should check it out. It's amazing. Literally, you can watch a rocket land on a barge in the ocean.
I watched the one that took the car playing David Bowie to like wherever. Mm-hmm. I watched it go up and I watched the live stream on my phone at the same time. It was great and it was awesome. But, you know, it's exciting to see that all these companies are trying to do innovative things, but at the same time, NASA's been working this whole time.
Yeah.
And that's why we've got robots that are ready to build stuff. That's why we've got these basically these biodomes that we're hopefully going to be able to send astronauts to live in and do research in.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, and I think we did another podcast on the kind of the biodomes things because they test that for a long time. They make you go live on a volcanic island in Hawaii for a year.
Yeah, the Habitat. That was the name of the podcast we talked about where they had people living in the desert in these domes, and they had to act like they were on another planet where they could not leave the dome.
Well, when you went outside, you had to have an EVA suit.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a fascinating podcast. That was a fascinating experiment.
It's really awesome.
That was great. But she talked as well about these essentially, let's just be honest and very simplified, UPS shipments to to the moon. And for the buildings and things like that. And the first thing that I thought about, which was never really brought up, but it made me think about it because I think that was one of our discoveries that I had not that long ago, was that even from our first mission to the moon, we left all of our garbage there.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And so the first thing I thought about is like, oh man, we done messed this planet up pretty bad. Why is the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go and start littering the moon?
Let's go trash up the moon.
Because you know how much money it's going to take to send that trash back home? Like, nah, we'll just leave it here. Well, hey, let's
not
throw
as
it
much
in
the, once we get a base.
Let's throw it in the big hole.
Because we can tell those guys, there. Like, hey, go clean up out there. It's filthy. The moon is filthy. Go pick it up.
Pick up your trash.
No, it is funny, though, thinking about, like, leaving trash. Although, at the same time, I think it was like, they were not concerned about that. They're like, we got here. Let's please go home. Let's go to the, because I can't even imagine. I cannot even imagine being on the moon.
Neil Armstrong's like, I can't wait to go to the bar because everyone's like, going to buy me drinks.
No, I mean, there's that famous picture of Neil Armstrong. I don't think he was thinking about that even a little bit. I think that was always his, like.
Oh, that was his dream was as a little kid.
It. Oh, yeah, the dude was chasing it.
For sure.
And so, like, but I just think that the trash was the last thing on their mind. But
it is something I thought about.
It is something that we'll have to think about because we have already trashed low Earth orbit.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up space trash in orbit, because there's a lot.
I mean, this should be honest. We already did the oceans.
Yep.
We already did the land pretty bad.
Yep. Now we got
space.
Now
we've done orbit.
Now we need to move further.
Now we're trying to get to the moon.
Into space. The far reaches of the galaxy need to be trashed up. We got to get there.
I don't want to be the trash people. No, I don't want to be those people.
No, honestly, I've always thought that there is a huge opportunity for whoever can go get trash out of low Earth orbit, whoever can figure it out, like collecting trash. You're welcome, whoever's going to be a billionaire by figuring that out. If you figure it out, you're going to be rich because people would want that stuff.
One of my favorite things about this podcast is she has a mid-roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for those that don't know, a mid-roll means it's in the middle of the podcast, there's an advertisement. Mm-hmm. What's the advertisement, though?
Literally a NASA job posting.
Yes.
She is...
Every single week.
Absolutely on board with, if you feel inspired by the awesomeness you've just heard these NASA employees or other just generally amazing people talk about, there's jobs. You can go get it. You can go be a part of this whole process. You can be a part of this whole world where you can be one of the people that helps send people to the moon or helps NASA find the next program that's going to be giving us information that's going to change how we explore space for the next forever.
For sure.
And she literally just puts a job posting. It's not something.
And they're very
obscure.
Intimidating jobs most they of the time.
That's the thing. Okay.
It's would, NASA.
Would you want to work for NASA? Did you ever think about that when you were a kid?
Nonstop. That was one of my dreams as a kid, was to be an astronaut. But that's the thing. I wanted the big shiny job. I didn't want like
Me too.
The little computer job, to be honest.
No, and I wanted to be like, I definitely thought about astronaut, and I thought about, I don't know. I do know why, actually. Steve Irwin made me want to be a biologist of some kind, because I was like, this guy gets
love
it.
Animals.
This guy, I love animals. I want to learn more about animals. I want to help other people learn more about animals. So I will give that to Steve Irwin. That's probably his contribution to like what I wanted to be when I grew up. But yeah, astronaut just seems so amazing.
One of the things I always wanted to do as a kid is go watch a rocket launch. Have you ever been to the site to watch
it
launch?
No, I want to though.
I've always wanted to. I think we actually drove all the way out there one time and it got scrubbed.
Do you want to do a PDS trip
to
go see the lunar launch?
For sure.
Wait, are we launching out of Houston or Florida?
No, I think we're going to Florida, because they're talking about they're upgrading everything. Well, from what I saw on the NASA website, all these Artemis things, it has to be a different launch pad. So they're building new launch pads for the new Artemis missions.
I think we should do a live episode.
And most SpaceX is going out of here. Ooh,
yeah, definitely SpaceX is out of here. But like, it's just always been so exciting to me. Everything about like space exploration. Yeah, I'm a nerd. I like Star Trek. I like Star Wars. I didn't have to pick a side. I like Interstellar.
I don't like the Wrath of Khan.
You don't like the Wrath of Khan?
That's no, we've already talked about
based,
this.
That's the most science-based movie there is of all time.
All right, Josh.
No, I love Star Trek though. But like, in general, I just love the idea of exploring just for the sake of exploring. And I feel like NASA is
there. Now, you say all this,
there.
Put your money where your mouth is. Would you go to space if you had the opportunity to go to space?
Okay. If I had the opportunity, meaning I had to pay $1 million, or somebody's like, hey, you can go to space for free.
We need a F-list podcaster to go to space. Would you like to do it?
100%. 100%. I would go like, okay, would I be terrified when I'm shooting off the planet? Yes. Yes. Would I have an existential crisis when I'm floating around in space outside of everything that I've ever known for existence? Probably. But would I do it? Yeah, I would make myself, because I feel like people come back different when they go to space. And I'm a very experience-based person.
Mm-hmm.
I like experiences over things. You know what I mean? There's no experience that beats going to space.
No. No, I don't think there is.
Like,
so as an adult, as a parent, it would be a lot more of a thought process that would have to go on.
Sure.
I think that if it was like, hey, we're going to go to the ISS or something like that, you know, it's space, but it's almost routine now, going, sending someone to the ISS.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd go to the moon or anything further, but if it was just to low Earth orbit or to the ISS, I would do that for sure.
Yeah. No, I want to go to
space. Now, before I was married and had kids, dude, send me to Mars. I don't freaking care.
Send me to Mars. Let's go.
Let's go to Pluto.
Pluto. You don't want to do that one. That's not even a planet anymore.
Poor Pluto.
You hear about Pluto? It's messed up. That's a psych reference. You're welcome, everybody. Nobody got that reference.
I don't.
Psych is such a good show. You should watch it.
I've seen it before.
So good.
All right. Is there anything else about space? I mean, it's such a shame. Vlado just came in. Mr. Spaceman. It's not rocket surgery, but we're talking about rocket surgery.
I know. We are. Not
you
really.
Missed it, brother.
Yeah.
No, we've been talking about NASA and this amazing podcast that we were able to listen to and recommend. Oh, man, it was so good. It was so good. And I'm excited.
It was like seriously incredible podcast. If you are at all interested in kind of the inner workings or kind of the behind the scenes look at how NASA's operating and some of the cool stuff you can find out
about.
She
interviews astronauts, too.
Seriously, check it out. This is a great show. Check it out. So, for next week, hard pivot. Okay, disclaimer's coming.
Okay, what's the one podcast that when you ask people, You listen to podcasts? What's the one podcast that you're like, yeah, I listen to a few of...
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you're probably... Okay, you're probably all thinking the same thing. The Joe Rogan Experience.
We didn't sell out. We did not sell out, I promise.
We can't sell out. We're not making any money.
This is true.
Like,
this
it's fine. True. We're doing this because we want to do it. Like, we are not rich because of this. We're the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we are going to recommend an episode of the Joe Rogan Experience. And first, let me say that neither me nor Kirk regularly listen to the show.
I have never listened to a full episode of Joe Rogan.
We know how...
I think that I'm a little bit too much of a podcast hipster. But I say that love This American Life, though.
No. Like, podcast hipster? How long has Joe Rogan been making podcasts?
No, I mean, like, he's popular, so I was like, I don't know.
Okay, that's different. That's counterculture. But he is... the biggest podcaster ever. He's had the wildest range of guests ever, from Alex Jones, Elon Musk, random like celebrities of all different backgrounds.
I just keep seeing that scientists. Meme of Elon Musk just smoking the giantest blunt ever.
Yeah, and he has that goofy face.
Yes.
So he has a random assortment of people. Come on. And he does very, very long form podcasts.
It is
like
very long
3 hour ish.
Which again, that's not average. Really my thing.
No, that's the thing. Is like it's very niche. But I've also heard some people say that 3 hours, like kind of long form, is where you really get into that. Like people get past they're on the
surface
spot.
Level.
Yeah, they're on the spot. They're answering interview questions. You get to really just conversation. And so a lot of people really appreciate it. He definitely is a absolutely incredibly popular podcaster. Everybody has seen him in the news this week because he has made major exclusivity deals happen.
Yeah. Okay. I saw an article and it's the truth. Joe Rogan just won podcasting because he just got $100 million to be exclusively on Spotify.
Yeah.
Through podcasting.
So, we decided...
Hey, honey, I might be a 100 millionaire one day. No, I don't think so.
We're going to have to do more work or something. I don't know. Like, we'll try harder, but...
Does he try real hard?
Not really.
It seems like he just...
He smokes and drinks
drunk and
hangs out.
High, yeah. And then talks to celebrities.
Honestly, that's the thing. Can't knock the hustle, and that... Like, that sounds like he's...
He is a funny guy. He's a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, he's funny. And he has great guests on there. So
he does have great guests.
But we just wanted you to know that, like, this isn't something we listen to all the time, but we know how special this show is for a lot of listeners. And so we felt like he's all in the news. Let's talk about it.
And how could... Since the beginning, I kind of felt like, how can we be a podcast discussion show having never talked about
the
number one podcast?
Yeah. So we're going to do it. We're finally going to do it. But I did find an episode with someone that I really love.
And that we both like grew up watching and like really,
really, really admiring. And his name is Les Stroud, Survivor Man. Maybe one of the most watched people in my like... Youngish, I don't know, mid to
that was,
late teen years.
That was what was on Discovery Channel, just
and I
on
loved
repeat.
It. So the episode is Joe Rogan Experience number 632. If that doesn't give you an idea, he's also up to like
632.
The highest one I see right now is 1239.
Wait, what?
This was from 2015.
This episode we're talking about is from 2015?
Yes. This guy, that's what I'm saying. The guy is... Oh. Absolutely putting out a ton of content, talking to absolutely ridiculous guests.
Presidential candidates.
Yeah, it's all good. You know, it's all good. Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about one of the biggest shows in podcasting history next week. So we're going to dig in to the Joe Rogan Experience next week. And remember.
Get ready for a long episode.
Yes, 100%. And remember.
There's always more to discover.
Thank you for listening to the Podcast Discovery Show. We have a few things we'd like to tell you. First, we would love to hear from you on Twitter at the PDS Official or in our Facebook group, the Podcast Discovery Club.
Secondly, leaving a rating or review on iTunes helps tremendously in giving us visibility and also visibility to the podcast that we recommend. You can also check out our Patreon page to get exclusive bloopers, old episode archives, and other exclusive content while supporting the show.
Finally, seriously, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you about what you love about podcasts. And thank you for being a part of all of the things that we do.
This was a podcast from the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it